In this edition of the State Capitol Report, the revelations and the reaction to the leaked John Doe documents from Governor Walker's recall campaign. The documents show Governor Scott Walker fundraising for Club for Growth. We will also get two takes on Governor Walker's transportation budget proposal later on in the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, September 19th. Our first guest is Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So tell us about this story that we saw in The Guardian, of all places, late last week. What is this all about? Why did The Guardian break this story?
The Guardian got the documents, and I think, you know, why they got the documents and somebody else did, we can only speculate, but The Guardian has history with big batches of leaked documents, and that's what this was, about 1,500 pages of leaked documents connected to the investigation that we know here in Wisconsin as John Doe 2, which we said over and over again over the years, was looking into whether Governor Scott Walker's campaign illegally coordinated with conservative groups leading up to the recall. That we now have really a more complete picture of what they were looking at here, and it's whether Governor Scott Walker's campaign, really with him as the chief fundraiser, was wrong when it was coordinating with these groups. And specifically, when we say these groups, we're really looking at the Wisconsin Club for Growth, the 501c4 that the governor really treated as his own.
So what did these documents show? And what are some of the major revelations?
So just to set it up a little bit, why does it matter if a governor is working with a group like this? And the big thing is that a group like this, a 501c4, the Wisconsin Club for Growth, can accept unlimited donations, unlimited corporate donations. But the really big thing is they can keep those donations typically secret. So we know about a lot of them in this case because they've been, you know, leaked out there over the years. And now we have a lot of information on who gave, you know, for example, $1 million from, not from John Menard, the owner of Menards, but right from Menard's corporate account, right to the Club for Growth, all that's in there. So that's why it's significant, though, because you have to think about how this money's flowing in there. It's unlimited. It can come from any source, and it can be secret.
And to spell it out even more, to clarify even more, the Club for Growth could use all this money to put campaign ads on TV or the radio that would, in essence, be in favor of Governor Scott Walker's reelection.
They were very much a big part of beating back recalls in 2011 in some of those state Senate races, where a lot of this fundraising took place. And then they were, an ally to Governor Scott Walker during his own recall in 2012. How closely was this group aligned with Governor Scott Walker? It's not just the governor's time and, his fundraising that we're detailing in these documents. You also see that one of the governor's top advisors, R.J. Johnson, was also a top advisor to the Wisconsin Club for Growth at the time. We already knew that, but you see how important that was to making this arrangement work. They were essentially carrying out, you know, what the governor and the governor's campaign wanted during these recall campaigns.
How did the documents reveal that the governor was indeed fundraising for the Club for Growth?
Well, you take the title of The Guardian piece, for example, because Scott Walker asked, and it's kind of a catchy title. You know, what does this mean? You read down just a little ways, and you see that it came from a memo that a donor wrote on a check to the Wisconsin Club for Growth. So essentially laying it out there right on the check, why are you giving this $10,000 check to the Wisconsin Club for Growth? Because Scott Walker asked. Just one example of where, you know, the donors knew why they were giving this money. Another example of the governor's fundraising, there's one email where he sort of nonchalantly says to his campaign. You know, I also, by the way, I got $1 million from John Menard today, and soon thereafter, $1 million shows up at the Wisconsin Club for Growth. So they're encouraging, his campaign is encouraging him to go out heavy after these big donors. They're telling donors, a part of their bullet points on messaging this stuff is that this is that you can accept unlimited donations. They can remain anonymous. You can take corporate money. And the governor's spending time going out and meeting with these people who then give to the Wisconsin Club for Growth.
And so was it illegal for him to do this?
So the Wisconsin Supreme Court has weighed in on that. And in Wisconsin, they say this is not illegal. They say that this type of coordination, they had, we don't know they had all these documents in front of them, but we know that these were connected to the investigation and that these this was the body of work that was in front of them, the body of the investigation that was in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And they shut it down in no uncertain terms. They shut down the John Doe investigation. And they said that this type of coordination is legal in Wisconsin. Soon thereafter, the Wisconsin State Legislature, run by Republicans, passed a bill that basically codified that state Supreme Court decision, and Governor Scott Walker signed it into law. So not only has the court said this is okay, Wisconsin state law has been adjusted to say this is okay.
Wisconsin state law, before the Wisconsin Supreme Court weighed in, though, said that this type of activity was illegal.
The court said it wasn't clear enough. Essentially, I think prosecutors said that their case was that it was pretty well known that this type of coordination was forbidden in Wisconsin, hadn't been done before. It's actually been that type of coordination on a smaller scale had been punished before in Wisconsin. And so that's how they were building this case. Wisconsin Supreme Court, basically, you know, they shot that down and they said that, you know, they left no uncertain terms of their view of Wisconsin law, and that, you know, this type of coordination cannot be forbidden constitutionally.
And so the governor, I heard him react to this saying, hey, what I did was not illegal. My critics can't win in a court of law, so they're trying to win into the court of public opinion.
Yeah, that the governor's message is kind of twofold on this. One, he says that, look, the courts have already closed down this investigation. They've said it's a baseless investigation. There's nothing wrong with what I did. On the other hand, he doesn't sound exactly comfortable talking about this. You know, when he was asked, he had a tour around the state last week to unveil his Department of Transportation budget, which we're going to talk about. And he was, of course, asked about this. And one of the questions he was asked by another reporter was, are you still doing this? Are you still, are you still going to fundraise for the Wisconsin Club for Growth? And he basically didn't answer at his first stop in Edgerton that day, which was sort of peculiar. At a later stop in the day, he said he's not doing it right now. But that gives you an example of the governor would rather change the subject, not talk about this, even though the Wisconsin Supreme Court has said it's okay. And we should say that the final word on this is going to come from the U.S. Supreme Court, where an appeal of this John Doe ruling is pending. And we don't know if the U.S. Supreme Court is going to take that case.
And we have just a couple of minutes before a news break. So another revelation showed that that the governor collected a lot of donations from a company that sold lead paint.
Yeah, we knew he was out there meeting with the an executive from a company that made the lead that was used in paint. And these companies have been sued in Wisconsin specifically. They've been fighting these lawsuits for years. And so what the legislature, what happened, I guess, step this back a little bit. This executive gave the legislature gave the Wisconsin Club for Growth $750,000 over three donations. Around that time, the legislature passes this this big tort reform bill that includes language in there that's going to make it harder to sue companies that once made lead paint. A little bit later, the legislature comes back in and adds a few lines to the law that says not only can you, is it harder to now sue these companies going forward, but retroactively this applies. So even if you had a lawsuit in the pipeline before, you know, this change was made, this applies to that too. It's a retroactive change to the law, which is pretty unusual.
And just with 30 seconds to go All before right. our news break, so the company that made the lead that was in paint donated $750,000
right.
prior to this legislation that essentially gave them some immunity to lawsuits.
Yeah, I mean, some of the donations came after the first change and then made a couple more, and then the big change that made it apply retroactively took effect.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk more about these John Doe leaked documents and reaction and fallout after this news. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with our State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson during this first half of our State Capitol Report about the revelations contained in leaked documents from the John Doe investigation into Governor Walker's recall campaign. Big story in the Guardian newspaper late last week. Lots of reaction and fallout since then. And, Sean, we have a listener who called in to say two Supreme Court justices took money from the Club for Growth when they were running for office, and then they ruled on this, which was certainly a conflict of interest. So what do we know about this, Sean?
So they didn't exactly... Okay, so the Wisconsin Club for Growth was a big player in state Supreme Court cases. And again, the only reason I stopped there to think about what I was going to say is because they weren't taking the money from the Wisconsin Club for Growth, but they were definitely benefiting from it. This was another situation where the club then, as it could during the recalls, was able to take these unlimited donations, keep donations secret, and go out there and run these ads, which were ostensibly issue ads, but they're basically the campaign backbone in a way for these state Supreme Court campaigns. And you actually see during the emails, Governor Scott Walker bragging to Karl Rove at one point about his campaign advisor, R.J. Johnson, and the work that he'd done in the 2008 Supreme Court race that elected Michael Gableman, and then in the 2011 Supreme Court race that elected Justice David Prosser. These were two of the justices. These were the two justices that John Doe prosecutors asked to recuse themselves when John Doe 2 came before the state Supreme Court. They did not recuse themselves. Prosecutors have now appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and one of the issues that they're raising with the U.S. Supreme Court is they're asking the U.S. Supreme Court to find that these justices should have stepped aside in this case. There's a little precedent for this at the U.S. Supreme Court. They have done this before in a West Virginia case, saying that a judge should have recused. It's not common, though. You know, but that is, I think, what some court watchers feel, given the current split on the court, if there's anything that the court might take, that might be the strongest case.
And Sean, the Supreme Court is going to, the U.S. Supreme Court may or will look into these issues.
Yeah, we just don't know. They haven't decided whether they're going to accept the case. So they've got a conference, I believe, late this month where they'll have time to talk about it. It could be, in most cases that get appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, the court does not take. And when the court denies these cases, it does so usually in just a brief one or two lines. You know, we've denied cert in these cases. Done. End of story. You know, we don't know what's going to happen here.
So that is one of the issues they may look into. But aren't they also going to look into whether or not are they going to look into whether or not the John Doe 2 should have been shut down?
They're going to look into the fundamental reading of campaign finance law that the Wisconsin Supreme Court gave. The Wisconsin Supreme Court used a lot of federal cases in backing up its opinion, saying that this is, the type of behavior that's going on here is definitely protected by federal law, by federal case law. So that's how the Wisconsin Supreme Court built its case. Prosecutors are saying to the U.S. Supreme Court, look, the state Supreme Court misread what you've been doing at the federal level, at the U.S. Supreme Court. We need you to take this case. This is a pretty ripe example of, a misreading of federal campaign finance law.
And the Wisconsin Supreme Court, when it made its decision that shut down the John Doe investigation, didn't it also say all documents pertaining to this need to be destroyed? But they're not destroyed yet, obviously.
It did. No, that argument, I mean, they made that order, and the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals stepped in and said, don't destroy the documents. But they were supposed to be kept under seal. They were also supposed to be kept under seal during the John Doe investigation. That was under an order. That's under the state's John Doe law. They're supposed to be remain secret. And so that obviously has gone by the wayside now. It went by the wayside several times during the John Doe investigation. You've now got 1,500 documents out there. It's actually been the reaction of Republicans as this stuff has come out, as Attorney General Brad Schimmel has said he's concerned by it, and he's considering his options for investigating this leak. The Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, a Republican, sent a letter saying, I want you to investigate this because somebody broke the law. The reporter for The Guardian who broke this story, who had these documents, obviously isn't going to say where he got them, but he was on public TV on Friday and said it's disappointing but not surprising that that's been the reaction. And he said it's disappointing because this case raises some pretty big issues as far as democracy is concerned and whether this is the kind of system that you want to have in America. But he said it's not surprising that there's calls for an investigation, though, because that's usually what happens when there's a big leak like this one.
You know, we have to go to our next segment on the transportation budget. Less than 30 seconds, Sean. The governor released the transportation budget proposal late last week.
Yeah, and it borrows less than he would have in his last budget. He initially called for $1.3 billion in borrowing in his last budget. This one would borrow $500 million, so that's historically lower. It does delay a number of projects in southeast Wisconsin. And notably, the governor's talking about how it does not raise taxes. What's interesting this year is you have a pretty open dispute argument between top Republicans in the legislature, namely Assembly Republicans and the governor. And the Assembly Republicans are calling the governor's budget a political document, not a real budget. So they're going at it even before the budget season has officially begun.
Well, we'll talk with you again another time soon. Thanks very much, Sean.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. You can follow him on Twitter at SJohnsonWPR.